Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of PastorStudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. There's a story that a wealthy farmer many years ago had a son. His son was born deaf, and the son could see, but he couldn't hear and he couldn't speak. The father sent him to an institution that really taught him as well as they could back then. And the father said, "One day my son came home and he stretched out his arms and said, 'My father.' And he said, 'If I live to be many, many years old, I'll never forget the day my boy called me father.'" I think when we wake up in the morning, God is waiting for us to hear from us, "My Father, our Father." Spend time every day talking to God. Don't rush through life. Put the number one thing first. Pray to our Father. We are in a series now on the Lord's Prayer. And if you missed last time, let me catch you up to speed. Last time we did this, "our." The word "our" means every Christian is part of the church. If you're not in a good church, find a church. Every Christian is part of the church. No Lone Ranger Christians. "Our Father." That word means He wants an intimate, personal relationship with you. "Our Father who art in heaven." Those words mean God is transcendent. He's separate from His creation. God is not the rocks, trees, and the mountains. We're not New Age pantheists. We're not God. God is God. "Our Father who art in heaven." Today we get to just these words: "Hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come." Let's open with prayer. Father, we pray for anyone watching this program who does not have a father-child relationship with You, the Creator of the universe, that You would bring that person to see You are their loving Father. And God, speak to us now as we think upon the greatest prayer ever prayed, given to us by Jesus Himself. And speak, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, first word, "Hallowed be Thy name." I read of a little girl who was heard praying the Lord's Prayer, and she said, "Our Father who art in heaven, Hollywood be Thy name." Well, you know, I think of all the words in the Lord's Prayer, this is the one people don't get. Because when's the last time you used the word "Hollywood" in conversation? It's the same as the word "hallowed." "Hallowed" and "hallowed" is the same thing. But what does "Hollywood" mean? Many years ago, a Christian college went on a trip to Europe. I went with them, and we're standing on a cliff overlooking Omaha Beach in northern France, where thousands of young men were killed on June 6, 1944. And the Christian professor lectured to us about what happened that day. And then we all got in our vans, and we went up to the graveyard. Just thousands of white crosses. And you just got a sense you were on hallowed, holy ground. That's what the word "hallowed" means. The word "hallowed" means holy, sacred. Literally, it means set apart from, separate from us. It's not a normal thing. Hallowed, holy, separate, apart, sacred be Your name. And when we pray, "Hallowed be Thy name," it's not like we're saying, "God, make Your name holy." His name already is holy. What we're praying is, "Lord, may I treat Your name as holy. May the world treat Your name as holy." I was raised to believe, and I still do, that saying, "Oh my God, oh Lord, Jesus Christ, Lordy, Lordy," you don't do that. And I can remember as a little boy in grade school, they'd sing, "Granny's in the cellar, Lordy, Lordy, don't you smell her?" I thought, And when I was little, you couldn't say, "Oh my God," on TV. But I remember when it started, about 1970, The Mary Tyler Moore Show, she started saying, oh my God, and they left it in, and now it's everywhere. I went to a Christian conference. Two different speakers got up, and in their lecture said, oh my God, and I'm thinking, oy. So, the first request in the Lord's Prayer is, holy be your name. And I think it's number one because it's the most important. If you get this one right, if you hallow God's name, the rest of your life will kind of fall into place. I've been a pastor many years. I've only done one murder funeral. And this girl named Marie, I confirmed her when she was 13. She confessed her faith in Christ. She got public and we all confessed our faith in Christ during Confirmation Sunday. Sadly, as often happens, never saw her again. She never came back to church after she was confirmed. I heard through the grapevine she was kind of messed up, living with different men. She had a baby by one of them, and the baby died. So she called me, would you do the funeral? And I did. I said, now, Marie, come back to the Lord. Come back to church. She didn't. She had three more babies, and then she got another boyfriend. And I'm watching the news one night here in Minneapolis, and here's a news report about a family. The boyfriend and girlfriend were having an all-night drinking party, and the boyfriend shot his girlfriend to death, Marie. And they interviewed the woman across the street who said, I never saw Marie smile. You know, when you pray, hallowed be thy name, you're praying, Lord, may I treat your name as holy. Help me not get into premarital sex, drinking, drugs, etc. Lord, may I treat your name as holy in my life. And if you do that, I think you'll live longer. If you don't, you can die early. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And before we leave the word hallowed, I want us to ask this question. How do I hallow God's name in my life? Well, there's four things you do according to the Old Testament, that'll hallow God's name in your life. I'm going to read a verse and see if you can pick it out. First verse is from Numbers chapter 20, verse 11. Then Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came forth abundantly, and the congregation and their beasts drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you have not believed me to hallow me, to treat my name as holy in the sight of the sons of Israel, you're not going to take them into the promised land. Did you catch it? The first way you hallow, you have God's name holy in your life, you believe him. You believe what he says. In other words, when I'm reading my Bible and believing what it says, I'm hallowing God's name in my life. But if I don't believe what it says, or worse, I never bother reading it, I'm not hallowing his name. So the first thing is, you read and believe his word. Second thing hallowed means, and see if you can catch this one, this is from Isaiah chapter 8, verse 12. You are not to say, it is a conspiracy, in regard to all that this people call a conspiracy, and you are not to fear what they fear or be in dread of it. It is the Lord of hosts whom you shall regard as holy, hallow. He shall be your fear. He shall be your dread. Did you catch that? First way you hallow God's name is believing his word. Second way, you fear him. When God asks you to take a stand in our evil culture, you're not supposed to care too much what your spouse thinks, what your boss thinks, what your mother-in-law thinks. You're supposed to care mainly what God thinks. There is a grave in England, and on the grave it says, here lies Lord Lawrence. He feared men so little because he feared God so much. Hallowing God's name means I fear him above everything else. Story of a young violinist. He's doing a concert. He gets to the stage. He does his first number. Perfect job. People applaud wildly. But they could tell by the look on his face he wasn't pleased. He does his second number. Again, wild applause, but he's not pleased. He does his third and final number. It is so good. Everybody jumps to their feet, standing ovation. They clap. But the whole time, the young man's eyes are up toward the balcony. And finally, he sees his white-haired maestro go, and joy burst on his face. He didn't care what the crowd thought. He wanted the nod of his maestro. The way we hallow God's name in our lives, and this is not easy, but it's when we fear God, we want his approval, and I don't care too much what the people at work think. Third way we hallow God's name, see if you can catch this one. This one is from Leviticus chapter 22, starting at verse 31. So you shall keep my commandments and do them. I am the Lord. You shall not profane my holy name, unhallow it, but I will be hallowed among the sons of Israel. I am the Lord God who sanctified you. So did you catch that one? We hallow God's name when we're obedient. It's obedience. Hallowed be thy name includes obeyed me your commandments be. There was a newspaper story that on January 15th, 1944, during World War II, a young cadet gets up to do a solo practice flight. While he's doing his flight, for some reason, he's struck blind. He radios the tower, and they said, okay, just keep circling. We're going to clear the field. We're going to get an ambulance, and we're going to try to talk you down. Okay, now lower the left wing, now lower the right, and so, okay, now you're getting close, so drop the wheels. He dropped the wheels, and he landed perfectly, total health. When God asks you to hallow him by obeying him, he's doing that for your good. He only wants your health and safety. So that is how we hallow God's name. We believe his word, we fear him, we obey him, and the fourth and final one on this is how do you hallow God's name? This too comes from Leviticus chapter 10, verse 3. Then Moses said to Aaron, it is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me I will be hallowed, treated as holy, and before all the people I will be glorified. Did you catch what they equated hallowed there with? You glorify him. When you glorify God, you're hallowing his name. Johann Sebastian Bach wrote some of the greatest symphonies ever penned, but at the end of his symphonies on the music sheets, he would always write the words solo gloria Dei, which is Latin for all the glory goes to God. If you like this, give God the credit. He's the one that has brought this about. Again, back to World War II. One day the pastor walked into his church in England, and here's a little boy on his knees. And the pastor goes up and says, I've never noticed you here before. Do you pray here much? Oh, I've come here five times the last 5 days. Well, do you have someone in the war that you're praying for? Yes, my daddy. But he came home safe yesterday. And the pastor said, well, great. So he came home safe yesterday. Why are you in church today? The little boy said, I had to come back and glorify God. When you praise God, I've said this before, the best habit I think I've ever developed, every night before I go to bed, I think back on the day, and I praise God for five things. So how do you glorify God, hallow his name in your life? Number one, you believe his word. Read your Bible every day. You fear him above all else. Fear him, you obey him, and then the last one is you glorify him. All right. One more phrase to look at. Thy kingdom come. What are you praying when you pray the words, thy kingdom come? There's a present and a future tense that people pray that in. A lot of people think when you pray, thy kingdom come, you're praying, Lord Jesus, present tense, right now, come and be my king today. I think more people think of the future tense, thy kingdom come. Lord Jesus, bring on the second coming. Come down in the clouds, raise the dead, judge the world, get us to the new heavens and the new earth. I think people pray both, and they're both right. Because sometimes in the New Testament, the phrase kingdom of God is present tense. Jesus said, Pharisees, if I cast out demons by the finger of God, the kingdom of God has come, present tense, upon you. But oftentimes, it's a future thing. It's what's going to happen on the last day when Christ returns. So when you pray, thy kingdom come, you're praying, be my king now, but also bring in the second coming and get us out of here. One last thought. I think when you pray, thy kingdom come, you're praying for the missionaries. You're praying, Lord, bring your kingdom. Get your kingdom in Iraq. Bring people in Afghanistan to Christ. Get missionaries in these places that don't know your kingdom. God, all over the world, send missionaries. May your kingdom, present tense, come, so that'll usher in the second coming of Christ. All right. I close with this. Let me tell you how I now and then pray the Lord's Prayer, and I'll ask you to do the same. A little bit of homework. Try this. Maybe do this before you go to bed tonight. Pray it real slow, like this. Our God, thank you I'm part of the church. Thank you I don't have to go through this world alone. Thank you for the Christian church. Our Father. God, thank you you're my dad. Abba. The word Abba means daddy in Aramaic, and Jesus said you can pray Abba, Father. So our Father, who art in heaven. God, thank you you're up there for us, and you're not the trees and the rocks, and we're not pantheists. You're art in heaven. You're transcendent. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Lord, may I treat your name as holy. May I fear you above all else. May I believe your word. May I obey you, and may I glorify you, and thy kingdom come. Lord, come be my king today in my life, present tense, but then come at the second coming, and do that the rest. We're going to do this for a few more weeks this series, but slowly pray through the Lord's Prayer. And I'll close with these words from Martin Luther from 500 years ago, where he said, "Hallowed be thy name." What does this mean? To be sure, God's name is holy in itself, but we pray in this prayer that it also may be holy for us. How is this done? When the Word of God, Scripture, is taught clearly and purely, and we as children of God lead holy lives in accordance with it, help us to do this, dear Father in heaven. But whoever teaches and lives otherwise than the Word of God teaches profanes the name of God among us. From this preserve us, Heavenly Father. So pray the Lord's Prayer slowly before you go to bed tonight, and then we'll get to the next part of the Lord's Prayer next week.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor Study, where we ask Pastor Brock questions regarding the Bible. Pastor Brock, our first question, is it ever proper to say, oh my God?
If you're praying it in prayer, oh my God, please heal my daughter, that's fine. Mm-hmm. If you're saying it reverently and you mean it, that's fine, sure.
And should we tell others not to use the Lord's name disrespectfully when we hear it, especially with friends and family?
Well, You told the story before the cameras started rolling. Why don't you tell them that story?
I had a girlfriend that used to say, take the Lord's name in vain. And one day I said, you know, you really shouldn't. That's a holy name. And to this day, and it's probably about 40 years later, she said, thank you for telling me that.
Yes.
And she heeded that, and she stopped doing that.
And I know another Christian lady that did that, and the friend got irate. Who are you to judge me?
Mm-hmm.
So here's what I do. When I hear somebody say, oh, my God, it's like, oh boy, do I confront this or not, dear Lord? And sometimes I do, and then sometimes I don't. But you know what I always do? And this is a habit that I recommend to people. When you hear somebody say, oh my God, stop and pray for that person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm praying for people a lot because you hear it so often.
Especially today on TV and movies. Mm-hmm. I don't know why they have to do that, that.
Yeah.
Do you believe we can worship God by inventing new names for him?
All right. Well, the name God has given us is Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And this also, back in the 1990s, liberal Christians from around America came to the liberal city of Minneapolis and held their Reimagining God Conference.
Mm-hmm.
And these were feminists, male and female feminists, who believe it's oppressive to call God Father and exclusively refer to God as He. So they reimagined new images for God. And who did they worship at that convention? The goddess Sophia.
Hmm.
So, Ken, are we free to invent new names for God?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm.
We are not. And if you go to a church that rarely calls God Father, or you notice that the pastor will never call God He, well, the New Testament and Old Testament call God He. Mm-hmm. Jesus called God the Father. So I would beware of those churches.
What are some of the various names for God in the Scriptures?
Right, now it's fine to pray, "Oh God, my rock."
Mm-hmm.
Oh God, you know, there are things like that. And there's some, not much, but there's some female imagery for God. And Isaiah talks about God comforts us like a mother comforts her child.
Mm-hmm.
But we're never told to pray to our mother in heaven, mm-hmm. you know, this kind of thing. So, but there are lots of good names for God in the Scriptures. But the name God has given us, one God and three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
All right. Why is the Lord's Prayer different in Luke and in Matthew?
Right. Now, if you read the Lord's Prayer in Matthew, Jesus is doing that in the midst of the Sermon on the Mount. And it's one version. And then you read him answering a question in Luke, mm-hmm. how should we pray? And it's a little bit different version of the Lord's Prayer. Some things added, some things taken out. And Mona, Jesus preached a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he preached the same thing more than once. I mean, if you watch our TV show, you've heard me say the same points over and over, now and then a lot. I'll mm-hmm. reuse a story if I think it's a good one. And I think Jesus did the same thing. He told stories. He told parables. He would have repeated the Lord's Prayer more than once. Once for this audience this way, another for another audience that way. So I think, you know, that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you believe we are living in the end times and that Christ's kingdom is near?
Mm-hmm. In one sense, we have been living in the last days since the resurrection of Christ. It talks about the last days that we're in as a present tense thing. So ever since Jesus rose from the dead, we're living in the end of time.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's the end of time, mm-hmm. which, and I think that's probably your question. Do I think we're at the end? And only the Lord knows.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is Christians for 2,000 years have thought the second coming is right around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in the medieval Europe, they thought the plague in the 1300s was going to be the second coming. Luther thought the church was so corrupt that the Pope was the Antichrist. In World War II, people thought mm-hmm. Hitler was the Antichrist. So you just got to be very careful. Are we in the very last days? Only the Lord knows.
Mm-hmm. What about the apostasy? Seems like people are falling away,
yeah.
not going to church. Not
the word apostasy means the falling away.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you can argue that the church has never been so messed up as it is right now. We've never had pastors and bishops saying gay sex is fine. It's okay to get an abortion. We've never had that. The teaching that Jesus is nice, but you don't have to believe in him to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
Universalism, everybody's... I mean, I don't know that you can make a case. I mean, the church throughout the ages periodically gets messed up, but I don't know that we've ever been as messed up as we are right now. So that makes me wonder if we're not at the very mm-hmm. end. But again, only God knows.
That's right.
Yeah.
What has to happen before the second coming of Christ mm-hmm. can occur?
A few things. Jesus said the world will be evangelized, mm-hmm. and then will be the end. So when you see almost all nations get evangelized, that's ripe for the second coming. I think that's happened.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing he says, I think the way I understand Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11, there will be a large conversion of Jews to Christ before mm-hmm. the end. And then when you read 1 Thessalonians 2, or is it 2 Thessalonians 2? I always get those messed up. Paul talks about the Antichrist.
Mm-hmm.
An evil person will proclaim himself to be God. Many people will follow him. And then Jesus returns and wipes him out. So that has to happen. The Antichrist has to happen. And, you know, is he here? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Again, there are lots of mini Antichrists, but then there's the big capital A Antichrist that comes at the end. And the Bible says you've got to be ready because Christ can return at any moment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how can that happen if the Antichrist has to come first? Well, the Antichrist might be here. We just haven't recognized him.
Mm-hmm.
So...
So do you think the rapture is imminent or close? Or
yeah, let's talk about this. The word rapture means caught up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when Jesus comes down in the clouds to end the world, that's when we're raptured up to heaven. A lot of Christians in America believe 7 years before Christ returns, the church disappears, mm-hmm. then the tribulation hits, and then Christians are taken to heaven. My view is I think Christians are promised persecution in this world. Mm-hmm. We're here till the second coming, and then we're raptured up. But that's a good question.
Yeah. Okay. How should I pray for missionaries, especially if I don't know any personally?
Mm-hmm. Well, you can pray generally for the missionaries. Mm-hmm. I've got a list of missionaries. In fact, I prayed it this morning. I've got a list of all these missionaries, and on Tuesday, normally, I pray for them. And if you don't know any missionaries, well, does your church have missionaries? Every church should have missionaries. Does your church, I mean, if you go to a church that doesn't support any missionaries, you need to have a heart-to-heart talk with your church board and say, look, we need to be getting the gospel out to Uganda or whatever. Can't we support some missionaries? And then you start praying for them. But, every church should have missionaries to pray for.
Exactly. What mission groups do you recommend?
Yeah, there's a lot of good ones. I would not give to pastors on TV that promise if you sow your seed and send me money, you're going to be healed. Those people drive me nuts. And why do Christians give them their money? Mm-hmm. Let me tell you who to give money to. Give money to Christian groups who are preaching the gospel of salvation. I'll give you a few. The Jesus Film Project, wonderful Christian ministry all over the world. The Timothy Initiative, wonderful group reaching people in India, Thailand, Nepal. Reaching Unreached Nations. Reaching Unreached Nations, they're converting Muslims. Let's see, Samaritan's Purse.
Samaritan's Purse, yes.
So there's a lot of good mission groups out there. Just don't give it to TV preachers who are buying a jet.
In other words, make sure where
make
your
sure.
money is going.
And you can go to Google the words Charity Navigators.
Okay.
And it's a website that'll tell you who's a shyster and who isn't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, do you have an update? That was the last question that I had.
Well, everybody, we are on the air more than ever, and we want to just ask you to pray for our ministry. We get so many people sending emails and letters, and it means a lot that you pray for us. And if the Lord nudges you to support us, we are a bare-bones operation. Everybody in our ministry is a volunteer. I am the only one who gets a salary, and it's modest. And what your money goes to is to buy airtime all over the country. So overwhelmingly, that's where the money goes. So just pray about supporting us. Pray for us. And then if you want to see this show or other shows over again, go to pastorstudy.org. and push the button, and all of our TV shows will pop up, almost all of them. And you can or there's somebody that needs to see this show, send them this show, or send them to pastorstudy.org. There it is, right there. And also, you can see our old radio shows are there, and articles about things. So there you go.
May your week be blessed. See you next time on The Pastor Study.
Thank you for watching The Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write The Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.